Question is, he said in Goloka Vrindavan, there's only one Purusha, one male personality, Sri Krishna. And there's so many gopiyan, sub-gopiyan, so many gopis, which who are Prakriti or female. How is it possible? Where's the competitor? Where's that husband? But husbands are also there. There's all, because in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, in Braja Gokul, all the sakis and all the female shaktis, they emanate from Radharani. And all the parishads of Krishna, the gopas, the fathers, etc., they emanate from Baladev. They're expanded from Baladev. Of course, Baladev comes from Krishna, and Radharani comes from Krishna. But Krishna's the origin. So there are gopas there, there are boys there, and they get married to the gopis. But there's so many different explanations of actually how Krishna marries all the gopis, and Gantoli Gram, and also Bandiravan. So there are males there, many, many males are there. So many sakas are there, so many gopas are there, younger gopis and older gopis. So the younger gopis, they get married to the younger gopis. And they're eternally married. They have their husband. But there, because the same spiritual world that's in Braja Gokul, it comes to this world. It comes here. So there, in this world, Radharani has a husband named Abhimanyu. He's the son of Jatila. And there, in the spiritual world, Radharani also has a husband. And his name is Abhimanyu. But he's never seen. He's just an idea. He's a man. He's a manu. He's a man. He's a conception, an idea, Abhimanyu. So he's in the spiritual world as a conception. But in this world, when there's a little difference. When Krishna brings a spiritual world, Abhimanyu takes a tangible, visible form. But even then, he's always invisible because every night he sleeps in the barn. He always stays in the Goshala. So, Krishna, this rasa is being tasted there. So, in order for Krishna to have paramour love, there must be marriage. So, there's the idea of marriage. Of course, just like in this world, for those people that cannot accept this idea of paramour, Krishna even shows that he had swakya. So you can't even criticize Krishna as being a paramour with the gopis because he also married all the gopis. Because once Lord Brahma, he came and he stole all the young coward boys and he put them in a cave and all the calves. And then Krishna expanded himself from his body, expanded himself into so many thousands of coward boys, looking exactly like all the coward boys with the name and everything. And for 1 year, they were going and coming with Krishna and going and coming, going to their houses, meeting their mothers and fathers. And during that year, which was only a few moments for Brahma's time, because Brahma locked the boys and calves in a cave, then he, for 1 second, then he went back to see, oh, what's Krishna doing now? How does he respond to this? But 1 minute of Brahma's time is 1 year of this time. So, during that time, Yogamaya, Purnamasi, she came into Vrindavan. She's the leading guru of Vrindavan, Purnamasi. She's a very ancient, old, elderly lady with matted locks. She has matted locks and she walks with a stick, Purnamasi. She's considered a great tapasvini or yogini. Very austere, very thin, wrinkled face, you know, gray matted locks, walks with a stick. But she's considered the guru of all the Brijvasis. Senior most lady, very wise, she knows Jyotish, everything. So, she came in during that year and she made an announcement. Listen, all you gopis and gopis, this is, according to all the nakshatras and grahas, this is the perfect time to marry your daughters. All your kanyas, all your braja kanya kumaris, you should marry them within the next few weeks. Very good time. So then all the gopas and gopis, they made a big arrangement for marriage. And they married all their daughters, all the 16,000, 18,000, 1 million, all the different daughters of Braj were married to these coward boys. And who were these coward boys? They were Krishna. Because he had expanded himself into all those coward boys. So then after that moment was gone of Brahma, or that year was gone, then the other boys were let out of the caves, And then they assumed, and Krishna withdrew his yoga maya and pulled all those forms within himself. And then, so those gopis, and when they grew up, they went and moved with those boys. But they were already married to Krishna. Krishna was their husband. So although they married those other boys, when they appeared again, because they looked exactly the same, yoga maya arranged that a second form of those gopis, a duplicate, was made. So whenever Krishna called those gopis, because they were his wives, when he played the flute on Sharad Purnim, he called them, oh, come and dance with me, come and enjoy with me, come and have parakya ras with me. Then yoga maya, those wives, those gopis that were already Krishna's wives, although now it looked like they were somebody else's wives who no one knew about except Purnamasi, then those gopis came out to dance with Krishna. So there's no immorality. Krishna wasn't dancing with the wives of the cowherd men. He was dancing with his own wives. So it was Swakiya Bhav. This argument is also presented by Acharyas. Now, what about the husbands? Did they become very envious? Hey, Krishna took our wives, and where our wives went? They ran out with Krishna. They became very angry and jealous. No. They were sleeping peacefully. Because Yogamaya made a duplicate. She made a double gopi, looking exactly like their so-called wife. And she's sleeping peacefully next to them, and they look over, oh, she's there, very nice. But the wife that belonged to Krishna, because everyone belongs to Krishna, is Ekpati. He's the husband of everyone. He's the lord and lover of everyone. So they were dancing with Krishna at night. This is one description that's given, and so many others are there also. The question is that Krishna, his body is completely spiritual and completely pure, inside, outside. His mind is pure and spiritual, his body, everything. And we can accept, all right, his activities are divine and pure and totally uncontaminated. But then we may see spiritual persons, like devotees, etc. And they're before us in a body that's made of flesh and bones and mind and desire and so many things. We see these God brothers, God sisters, gurus, etc. And it seems that from what we see in our level, they seem to be maybe talking intimately with women. So how should we see this? I mean, Krishna, there's no contamination or no immorality in Krishna's behavior. But what about those contemporaries that are living with us? How should we view this, or how should we judge this, or what is our response to seeing this seeming maybe improper behavior? So of course, it is the duty of acharyas, as much as possible, to behave as proper achar, sad achar. Acharya means achar. Sadachar means the behavior of eternality. Your behavior puts people on the path of eternality. That's called sat achar. You behave in such a way when people see you or follow you, they become eternal. Because you're following sad dharma. You're following the path of dharma, the path of eternal life. That's called sadachar. Eternal behavior, pure spiritual eternal behavior. The behavior of the soul is eternal behavior. The behavior of the soul is pure behavior. But when the soul is put in this body, we have to consider the regulations of the body. Therefore, the acharya will be very careful, as much as possible, when moving in this material world of morality and rules and regulations, to observe all the rules and regulations. For example, it says a sannyasi should not go back to his home and meet with his mother. So, sannyasi may be Lord Chaitanya. And so what's the problem with going to your home and meeting with your mother, your Lord Chaitanya? But he didn't do it. He went to Shantipur, and she came to visit him in Shantipur. He never went back to his home once he took sannyas. Because at his home, his wife was there. Vishnupriya was living with Sachimata. So you can't go back to home and wife and mother and everything. They're very, very strict. So that's one law. And then there's so many other... There's laws for each ashram. Brahmacharis have laws, sannyasis have laws. And we have to follow them very strictly. Otherwise, it becomes a disturbance in society. Shruti, Smriti, Pranadi, Pancharachika, Vidimbena. Let's see. Utpatyaiva Kalpate. says if we disregard Shruti Smriti Puranadi, if we disregard and don't follow the Shrutis and the Smritis and the Puranas and act whimsically or do whatever we want, it creates havoc in society. In the spiritual society, it disturbs everyone's mind. It breaks their faith. So it's difficult and it's delicate. So that, but we have to follow our rules and regulations as much as possible to preserve our own purity and to preserve the sanctity of the spiritual society and the peace of mind of others. Now, they have a phrase in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, if you see Lord Nityananda enter a liquor store, if you see Lord Nityananda enter a liquor store, don't think he's buying a bottle of Diplomat. He's not buying a bottle of whiskey. So in other words, he should not be criticized. He may be going into a liquor store to distribute a Bhagavad Gita. But I can remember sometimes on Sankirtan in San Francisco, we were distributing books there on the street. And then I had some prasadam also. So sometimes these derelicts and drunken people would come. I'd say, here, take some prasadam. Hey, Hare Krishna. And they take prasad. Then he comes back 5 minutes later and says, I have a donation for you. I want to give you some charity. It's brand new. I just collected it. So he has a bottle of wine. Bottle of wine. I said, okay, put it in my bag. So he puts it in my bag. Now if someone sees that, they're going to say, oh, this Hare Krishna is drinking wine. Because I took it in my bag, then we went back to the car, opened it, and drained it all out. Because he gave something to Krishna. Patram pushpam palam dvayam yome bhakti prachati. This is toyam. Patram pushpam palam. Toyam means water. Water means ras. So this wine is also water. So he's giving. So now what will happen? Because I know the nature of these people. If he's giving this bottle of wine, from his heart, you have to judge the circumstances. And then if you say, no, I don't want it. I can't take this. This is against our principles. But see, the preacher, the person who's actually empowered, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitara Pravartana. When it's Krishna Shakti, he is empowered by Lord Chaitanya to do the needful. So, if I said no, then he would not make that offering to Krishna. And then moreover, he would take the wine and crack it on my head. He would take the bottle and crack me on the head. Hey, you don't take my, what? You don't like me? Bam. So now, he doesn't make an offering to Krishna, but he makes Vaishnava Aparad. And he may stay in a hellish situation for thousands of births for doing that. He cracks me on the head with a bottle of wine. I don't care. I deserve it. But Krishna won't tolerate. But it's a very delicate thing. But of course one has to be in a very transcendental position. But if someone sees that, what's this Hare Krishna doing? So one who's an empowered preacher, or guru, or spiritual master. Like you see some guru comes through here, I remember when gurus first started growing hair and things. Hey, what's he doing? He's wearing suit and tie and has hair. And he started making offenses. Prabhupada, everybody's supposed to have shaved head and dhoti. What's this? This guy's in Maya. But he's on his way to some Muslim country. He's going to fly into some Muslim country on a visa as a teacher. And he's going to go there and secretly start printing Bhagavad Gitas in Muslim language and go underground in a Muslim country. So he has to grow some hair. What to speak, he may be doing a Vrata, Chaturmasya or something. So it's hard to judge. But nevertheless, the principle is we have to be very strict in our behavior. So there's no doubt, there's no question. It's difficult. It's very difficult. But preachers, when you read the stories of Sankirtan devotees around the world, you'd be amazed at phenomenal stories. They go into slaughterhouses, they go into every place. And they get all kinds of donations. They get, people give all kinds of things. 6 years I was distributing books and meeting hundreds of people every day. You get cigarettes and this and that. We just throw everything away, destroy everything. But because they gave something to Krishna, from Leelamrita, if you carefully studied Prabhupada's Leelamrita, when Prabhupada was giving lecture on 2nd Avenue, and in the storefront, one bum, one poor person, one very poor derelict person, he came in and he had a roll of toilet paper. The Western people use toilet paper. He had it in his finger, on the end of his finger. Hey, Swami, I got a donation for you. Because I see in your bathroom you don't have any toilet paper. So he came staggering in the middle of Prabhupada's lecture with his roll of toilet paper, and he said, I'll put it in for you. So he went right into the bathroom, he put the toilet paper there, and he came out. And then he left. Then Prabhupada said, he has begun his devotional service. Prabhupada commented on that poor person. He said, oh, he has begun. He has begun the path of liberation, Nivritti Marg. He has begun his devotional service. So if Prabhupada said, no, get out from here. We don't use toilet paper. We use water. We take a shower. Get out, you smelly bum. Then where would that person be? So the Karuna, Vaishnav Karuna, he's empowered by the Lord to express his compassion for the conditioned souls. So how he expresses that may be bewildering to a Kanishta Adhikari. If a Kanishta Adhikari, a neophyte devotee, sees Lord Nityananda enter the liquor shop, ah! Lord Nityananda entered the liquor shop, he's in Maya. So the preacher, one who has Krishna Shakti, is a representative of Nityananda. And Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says, the spiritual master is a representative of Srimati Radharani or Lord Nityananda. Or both. So this is Nityananda's kripa. And he went to the drunks. Who did he preach to? He preached to the drunks. The drunks, you know, drunk, intoxicated people, Jagai and Madhai. And they cracked his head with some clay pot. A clay pot means it was a pot of wine. It wasn't a pot of yogurt. It wasn't misty dahi. It wasn't a clay, you know, they says he got hit with a clay pot. It was a clay pot that had wine in it. They were drinking the wine. Ah! So see how tolerant, how merciful. The Tikshva Kurunika. This is the devotee. He tolerates everything and he's merciful. So that takes some, when you're empowered, then you're also empowered how to act. We have to be careful. Those that are sannyasis and gurus in this movement, if they're pure in their behavior and pure in their following, they're empowered to spread Krishna consciousness. If you know the personal life of Prabhupada, the unwritten Lilamrita, you'll see so many intimate things that he did that are not according to sannyas vidhi. So many things for preaching to his disciples and the children of his disciples, but they're not. There, you can ask Yamuna and Malati and those people. The Lilamrita is only one little version of Prabhupada's pastime. And there's a whole other thing called Transcendental Diary, right? And there's going to be so many. The latest Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, this one, that one, so many. So, be careful. Don't judge. Become pure. If we see something in someone else, it's actually in us. We see a fault in someone else. Oh, look at this fault. This person is this. This person is that. Actually, the progressive, analytical, progressive and analytical sadhaka, he will think, this is me. I'm projecting. I'm always projecting me on you. I'm projecting me on this world. Husband's projecting himself on the wife. Wife is projecting herself like that. We're just projecting. We're projecting the illusion that we hold so dear. What are we projecting? Are we projecting our realized state of consciousness? Are we projecting our pure discrimination and our pure minds? Because we're not pure. So what will we project? We'll project so much imperfection. Our minds are imperfect. We're full of illusion. So how can we judge? So the Shastras and previous Acharyas and Lord Chaitanya himself, he quotes the same verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vikriditam Vrajavadu. That one verse, Vikriditam Vrajavadu, explains by hearing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, bhakti, devotion for Krishna enters the heart first. And when that devotion or that bhakti is created by hearing these intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, then that power and purity of that bhakti and that pure love and prema destroys the dirt of lust. Rid rogam achirat. Vidrogamacharat. He says the disease of the heart, the disease of our hearts is kaam, lust. So when we read about Krishna's prema-filled pastimes, that prema enters our ears when we hear and read, and it goes into our hearts. That prema acts as a maha-oshadi, a great medicine, because prema is the opposite of kaam. The spiritual world is based on exchanges of prema. Vatsalya prema, sakya prema, madhurya prema. And this material world is based on exchanges of kaam, lust, self-satisfaction, self-gratification. You rub my back, I'll rub your back. So this is told by the acharyas. However, we're also warned by acharyas that, again, it's like the milk and yogurt analogy, that if you are a very, very lusty person, very dirty-minded person, and you can decide for yourself, you know your nature, if you're a very dirty-minded and low-minded person, then you should not read these things. Guru will decide. So shastras are there, scriptures are there. Prabhupada, one of the first books he gave us in 1969 was 10th Canto of Bhagavatam, called Krishna Book. The movement was started in 66. 66, 7, 8, 9. 2 years later, Krishna Book was out. The tapes were already out in 68, the narration. The book was printed in 69. So, and he didn't say this is only for my sannyasis. This is only for my vanapras. He said every temple should read this book every night before, and every devotee in the temple should hear this book before they take rest. Hot milk, Mahaprasadam, and Krishna book, Bhagavat Shravan, Das Kanto, 10th Canto Shravan. Every single night, every devotee, every temple. That was the order of our Guru Maharaj. Now what your Guru Maharaj orders you, I can't say. But you have to follow your Guru. You can approach him individually and say, Guru Maharaj, we have this Krishna book, we have this 10th canto, you know my nature, I would like to read these things. He says, no, then you have to follow. Guru Shastra and Sadhu. You can't just accept Shastra without Guru. And you can't understand Sadhu without Guru. Guru will teach you what is Sadhu. This is Kanishtha Adhikari. This is Madhyam Adhikari. This is Uttam Adhikari. This is Mahabhagavat. This is Prakriti Bhakta, materialistic Bhakta. This is Anishta Bhakta. This is a Ruchi Bhakta. He'll teach all the types of, what are all the different types of Sadhus. So Guru is required.